As well as having her work appear in the Paris Review and Plowshares, Amy Jo Burns is the author of the memoir Cinderland. Her latest work, which we'll talk about tonight, is her debut novel titled Shiner. Shiner is set deep in the West Virginia hills, close to an hour up a twisting road from a tiny town called Trap. Our guide through this recent time and place is a 15-year-old girl named Wren. And Amy Jo, I am just delighted to welcome you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So as I have fallen under the spell of Wren and your prose, I want our readers to have that chance also. So if you would read us Wren's words about a good story.
Making good moonshine isn't that different from telling a good story. And no one tells a story like a woman. She knows that legends and liquor are best spun from the back of a pickup truck after nightfall, just as she knows to tell a story slowly, the way whiskey drips through a sieve. Moonshine earned its name from spending its life concealed in the dark, and no one understands that fate more than I do.
Thank you. I want to find out more about Wren's fate. Tell us about Violet's Run, where she lives, and who her parents are.
Sure. So as you said, Wren is 15 years old and she lives secluded on this mountain called Violet's Run with her parents. And her father became a local legend when he was young and he got struck by lightning. And over time, he became a snake handling preacher. And what happens at the beginning of the book is that Wren witnesses her father perform this really strange miracle that goes terribly wrong. And it causes a lot of her family secrets and their old history to come tumbling out. So the novel is told from three different perspectives. And one is Wren's, of course. Another is a lovelorn moonshiner. And the last is a reclusive housewife. And those three voices work together to tell the true story that's hiding behind this mountain legend.
Ruby, her mother, is a very sympathetic character, certainly for me. She says at one point, "It takes no bravery to work a miracle. What takes bravery is when there's no miracle at all." Tell us a little bit about what her life is like, because her husband's life really is the one that shines.
Mm-hmm. Ruby is someone who has a lot of secrets, and I wanted to write a story about what it's like to be a woman who has a story that's gone unheard. And, you know, no spoilers, of course, but the women in this novel, Ruby in particular, have really juicy secrets that the men in their lives know nothing about. And Ruby reaches a point and a crossroads where she's trying to decide when it's okay to tell a secret. She's looking at her daughter and wondering if it's better for Wren to know the truth about her past or whether it's better to keep it.
And there's a sustaining influence in Ruby's life. Wren's father says that all Ruby needs to survive is bread and Ivy. Who is Ivy? What's their relationship?
Ivy is Ruby's best friend almost from birth. And what is so special about their relationship is that they have such a bond that transcends everything else in their lives. There's no competition to it. They are honest with each other. And it is this life-giving relationship that allows both women to sustain themselves through some real hardship on their mountains with their husbands and with feeling misunderstood. It is that thing that everybody in the novel looks to as a sort of sense of stability, including Ruby and Ivy themselves.
So something happens that's traumatic to Ivy.
Yes, and it is something that is not anybody's fault, but it comes with such a tidal wave that lasts for generations and for decades. And it's something that both women in the novel feel blame for. And I think that was really important to give voice to on the page because women are often taught from such a young age to blame themselves for things that are not their fault. And as I mentioned before, Ruby and Ivy have this strong bond and it's really tested because of this thing that happened so long ago that they feel like they can't talk about.
I am, of course, very curious about what inspired your writing this novel. Wren observes early on that the outside world looks at folks like her and essentially writes them off. But she says that's not what her people fear. What they fear is that God has forgotten them. Mm-hmm. So were you writing to remember them? Did you want to honor these people because you give us such an honest but compassionate view of these characters.
Yes. So I grew up in Northern Appalachia, not as isolated as Ren and her family, but it's a region that is very special to me. And it's so often criticized and lampooned in the news as being poverty stricken and the people being uneducated. And the truth is there are real human beings living there with really complex lives, and they've got their own secrets and their own desires and triumphs. And I wanted to capture that on the page in all of its splendor and glory. Appalachia is also this area that's continually being emptied out, you know, of coal or corn or iron. And it's such a compelling backdrop, I think, for these women in the novel who are also pouring themselves out for the people that they love. And there's something really moving about that, but there's also something really sad because there's a huge loss, and that comes with a cost as well.
Another wisdom from the mouth of Ren is that the truth turns sour if it idles too long in our mouths. Stories like Bottles of Shine are meant to be given away. And what a story you have given us. Thank you so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Barbara.
I've been talking with Amy Jo Burns about her debut novel, Shiner. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.